So this is the start of my fifth year with you all. Which I celebrate as it is Hannah's first Sunday with us and as we begin this new adventure with another ministerial intern. 4 years ago, discovering this place and this people, I told a story offered by Parker Palmer. Greg, can I have you begin this illustration? Some of you may remember it. Parker Palmer is one of our great teachers and activists from the Quaker tradition, and he tells about the time when, at the first sight of a snowstorm, farmers from the Great Plains would run a rope from the back door of their homes out to the barn. Do you remember this story? Well, if you remember it or know it yourself, you will remember how the snowstorms were so intense they were called whiteouts. You couldn't see anything but white snow falling all around, but the snow didn't stop all else that needed to be done. And while these farmers went and to travel into their backyards, to their barns, the story goes that many of these farmers wandered off. They died, frozen to death, having lost sight of home, all while still in their own backyards. The rope became a way for these farmers to always hold steadfast to something, something that would allow them to go out into the world bravely, but also return home safely for safekeeping, for warmth. It's hard to picture such a winter in the midst of August, I know. Hard because many of us remember all too well the chill of being without power in recent years, the days of shoveling snow, that chill that takes away our breath. We want to rightfully bask in the warmth and songs of nature that continue until they will no longer. But there are blizzards of other kinds. This is not just a story of winter. Palmer reminds us that there is fear and frenzy, greed and deceit, indifference to the suffering of others. Just last week, we spoke of those habits that our tired hearts gather up like snowballs, like Velcro that can white out our spirits. Isolation, cynicism, distrust. It is easy to wander off in the whiteout of such snowstorms. This is the rope I used 4 years ago while discovering this place, and it sits just perfectly at eye level in my office so that when I am feeling overwhelmed or depleted, I can call myself back to the moment when I first told you this story. How I asked you on that Sunday to call out the things that this rope would be made of to bring you back home, to bring you back to this space. And I know, I can hear still some of those voices ring out when you said honesty, relationship, curiosity, welcome, trust, laughter, challenge. And so it went, this space echoed. You built the rope, as physical as it was here, you built it with those words that you shouted out. 5 years later, 4 years later, and growing, we are a different congregation, and my guess is some of those words would still sing true. I wanted that Sunday to offer a message for each of you, for those gathered on that day, to remember that while I couldn't tie a limitless rope to you and the church doors, you now had a reminder of how you might be or become tethered to this community. How in the journey that calls you out into the world, one in which we can get lost even in the most familiar spaces, if you returned here, you would find a sense of safety, a sanctuary. It would be a return home. Hannah, ministers think, we are told and we are trained that we are here to serve others and to be careful, to be boundary, to be protective with our hearts, all at the same time while carrying the mandate to love our people. 4 years ago, in telling this story, I thought I was symbolically tying this people to this place, offering a good word for the time to come with their new minister. I had nothing to do with this. But hearing their voices call out with hope and need and fear and honesty, discovering their stories, their disappointments, what this place means to them, I was the one who became tethered to those doors, to this people, and to the songs they sing. In service to their ministry, to your ministry, I was the one who received the gifts of this place. I look now at this rope at the start of this fifth year, and in hopes that you feel the same way, I want to turn it into a clothesline and give you a little bit of our dirty laundry. Because what I've come to realize is that relationships are built over time, and you are only with us for 10 months. And so I want this to be a speed dating of sorts. I want to tell you how the Romeos, the retired old men eating out, show up every Tuesday and litter the parking lot with flashy convertibles, soft spirits, and hearty laughter. These are the men in our congregation who are also grieving, as are many of us, over the loss of a beloved friend and member who, just hours before, cradled my four-month-old on the barrel of his chest. Where you may want to assume strength, in this space I have found a sacred tenderness that is struggling to make sense of the world and their place in it. One of my favorite stories that you must learn is that these ceiling beams were hand-stained by members of this congregation. Under the carpet are wishes written by the last generation on the night before this sanctuary was fully built. Wishes for the next generation, which is this generation, for all that was to come. And so now, as we enter this new capital campaign, one that we are still striving to reach and to meet our goal, we do so with both awe for what we have made possible, what we are making possible, and humility for what we still must conquer. It is out of respect that we look to the legacy of those who made this place possible, but we also come with dreams that are very different than those from the generation before. I told you when we met last week that the chairs in my office are over 2 decades old, but they are refurbished by the hands, the carpentry of the women in this church. Women make up over 60% of this congregation, most of the leadership, and each of the religious professional portfolios. For some, Hannah, this is a great point of pride. And for others, they grieve, not seeing a version of themselves in their spiritual home. So many of us have found ourselves here, and so many of us still ache to be seen. Our children, as you have already learned, are smart and clever, and they are not afraid of clergy, and they will remind you time and again why this faith matters if you take them seriously. They run, the adults read, and flowers are often placed in our memorial garden, which is just outside. The earth there is filled with friends and loved ones who are not distantly remembered, but still full of spirit in our hearts. Come spring, you will learn that auction dinners bring out the most competitive drive of the most gentle among us. On Thursday evenings, the choir meets at a local dive called It's Nuts, and we frequent there so often that the church gets a portion of the money we spend. It's communities taking care of communities. And yet it is only fair to say that we are still trying to figure out the best way to take care of our own. Of course, there is grief here too. Confusion, impatient curiosity about the world, the way we have and haven't answered to it, about the way things have changed, about the way they haven't. Banners and new principles are what keep some here, and they are the cause of relationships severed all the same. We all need something to believe in. And truth be told, I think that if there is a lick of hope for this world, we need to start believing in other people again, and not just the ones we create in our own image, by the way. We need to believe others believe in us. We need to see hope and possibility and tenderness and a want to grow, but also to change and healing possible because of one another. This is why I am tethered here, because this place provides all of that for me. None of it is dirty laundry. It's the stories of people growing a soul, as A. Powell Davies would say. It is this community learning to be human and doing so together, and not in some formulaic fill-in-the-character slot that pits us against one another play. This is radical when you think about it, and it makes me believe in something big and something good. It's something possible. Hannah, we are not perfect. Far from it. But just like you this year, I believe we each come to this place, each wanting to learn. Even those who think that we are only here to serve, I assure you, we are all learning together. Which brings me to this rope once again. Hannah, as you begin this year with us, I know there will be plenty of times when you will serve us smartly with boundaries, clarity of call, and I have no doubt a levity that will be wise. But there will be also times of uncertainty in this world and in this one right here, in this time in your journey and the navigation of a new place, culture, assumptions. And it may just feel like a whiteout from time to time. But here's what I want you to know, and here's what I want you all to know. There is always more rope to unravel. Always more room to add to the story, always a bit more reach when it's needed to pull you in from a heart's winter. That does go for all of us. Today, in telling these stories, just a few stories that share pieces of what it means to be UUCWC, we formally welcome a new member to our community. We introduce her to what we mean when we say we are a part of this congregation. But these are the stories, and others too, that only you know, that I pray you will share with her and with me and with one another, that will help us live faithfully as Unitarian Universalists, day in and out, stories that will help us strive, sweat, and dream a way back to each other, and perhaps before that, back to ourselves. We each need help these days, finding our way home, finding something to believe in, finding our way back to each other. So what would you have hung on this rope? What would you have said tethers you, not just to this place, but to your hope? Perhaps later you will introduce yourself by giving just a small bit of that as introduction to Hannah. And perhaps you'll listen too over the course of this year as she grows with us, the reasons to believe in one another as well. In your orders of service, there are little index cards, and we are going to move right to the financial affirmation in just a moment. We're not gonna have any reflective music because I am keeping us here a little bit longer than anticipated. But what I'm asking for you to do is to consider a well wish, a story that ties you, that tethers you to this place that you wanna share with Hannah. Because over the course of these next 10 months, we're each going to need to remember that message as well. Blessings to each of you, and blessed 2020.